contact is huge in building that trust with the police department and showing that LifeWorks and SARC can work together as a team and that LifeWorks is out there and being able to help them. It's been the experience of PCT that the women who engaged in LifeWorks Now program are seen less or not at all on the streets or working and posting ads as escorts. Hopefully that also means they've been able to move away from their traffickers or in the process of doing so. The Now program addresses each woman's individual needs and gives them resources necessary to move beyond a way of life they are familiar with. Having the funding available would provide advocates as well as additional staff at LifeWorks Now program and would fill a missing piece to the overall program we have in place here in Portland. We'd be able to get these victims the help essential to them being able to believe in themselves as well as helping them move out of the destructive lifestyle that they're currently in. Thank you.
So, Mike, reflect a little more on I know you and your team are really focused on this. Do you think that understanding is permeating patrol folks throughout the Bureau?
It is, and we're currently discussing trying to get an education piece in, like, our advanced academy where the PCT would maybe teach a class there to make it a broader educational piece with officers and understanding the prostitution pimp relationship and why it's not this crime that people think of as this, you know, just two people out there doing something they want to do. So it's a talk that we're having within our team, and I hope to get that into our education piece with other police bureau members.
And can you talk for a minute about the relationship and role of the school resource officers in this work?
It's huge. And I think having girl strength and hopefully boy strength there, I think starting this younger age is a huge piece. I mean, having that connection, these school resource officers build this trust within the schools and become known as the go-to person. If, you know, the students there have a problem, they're looked at as an advocate, not as a person that's, you know, the police are there to bust somebody, that people actually trust them and go to them and confide in them and the stuff that you're talking about. So that's a huge piece to having these school resource officers who can be trusted and, you know, teach at the schools as well as be there to provide assistance. I wanted to address the question you had earlier about the Johns, that we routinely will give breaks to the women we encounter on the streets, trying to encourage them to get in LifeWorks, give them gift cards if we have for food, if they haven't eaten, go out of our way to help them and steer them towards the resources that are out there for them. Rarely do we ever give a John a break. The Johns, usually we always get charged, and one of the options they have is to go to the John School. To take pride in the fact here in Portland that we have arrested more Johns in the last couple of years, I think, than we have arrested or have charged the women we encounter. So we do take that very seriously. We are leaning more towards a buyer-oriented focus as far as the police bureau, and we're looking at other missions to target the Johns that are actually looking for the minors that are out there. So we are doing sort of a whole bunch of different facets out there trying to, like I say, target the Johns that are out there.
Great. Thank you.
I have one final thing that I was thinking about as we're all talking. This whole package is really cutting edge. You know, in our research and looking at boys' programs across the country, there isn't anything like we're proposing to do. So you'd have a great opportunity in Portland to really move forward with an important, what's really considered a health concern in our community.
One other thing to sort of piggyback on that is I just recently came back from a conference in Washington, D.C. that was sponsored by Shared Hope. And what we do is this team approach here in Portland is very unique from throughout the country. I mean, people are saying, you do what? You work with these other groups? What's SARC? What's LifeWorks? Why, you know, nobody has this type of approach that we have here in Portland. So it's very unique.
Great.
And I just wanted to add, there's a lot more reasons for you, Commissioner Fitch, on the competence of boys right now and how many of our boys don't have activities that when they do play sports, they don't have the same social interactions that girls do in clubs where there's a lot of discussions of working on those skills when they're falling in their verbal skills and how they fall behind academically, and that affects their self-esteem. So this is really, in many ways, a cutting edge. We've been trying to get funding for a boys program for 3 years when there was a lot more invested and just awareness of what was happening. So thank you.
Thank you.
That's the end of our invited testimony.
Great. Okay, thank you. And we have folks signed up to testify as
well? We have 17 signed up. The first group would like to come up together, and that's Adrienne Livingston, Alex Vieral, And then Christy Wheeler with Leslieanna and Katie. If you'll come up, please. And you can bring up some extra seats if you want.
Why don't we let, come on up. If you'd like to come up as a group, just slide up some more chairs. Again, can slide the big microphone box back and forth so you're within range.
Thank you for being here. Who would like to start?
I'll slide. Mayor, commissioners, my name is Adrian Livingston. I am co-chair of the Victim Services Implementation Team, and I am the executive director of the Black United Fund of Oregon. And first of all, I was like many Oregonians that thought that this issue was international, that it's there. But as I started to dig deeper, and this is really recent to me, I saw that, wow, this is in our own backyard, that we can't be blind to what's going on. And so a couple of things that I learned is really that, honestly, this issue is multifaceted, is multidimensional, and Commissioner Fritz, I'm very happy to hear that you asked about culturally specificity, because as I looked at the report that came out, the fact is our African-American youth, and I'm sure it didn't really show the Native American population, but I know that's more invisible, and I would like to see more studies of what's really out there, but the fact is our kids are overrepresented in this area. And the other fact is this touches so many other areas, whether it's the foster care system, whether it's someone who has had child abuse in their background, or even broken families. I think of Commissioner Fish, the fact that some of these kids, they come from broken families, so they can't. They don't play sports. They are maybe single-parent homes or even raised by our grandparents. So the fact is, this is a huge problem. It's going to take many to really tackle it. And it's going to take big support. And with what I'm seeing, and I just really love, and I'm extremely impressed by what our county, city, state is doing, seeing with the CSEC committee, with the victim services, and everyone coming together and seeing the collaborations, what I see is the county coming, I see city, I see the state, nonprofits, the religious community, all coming together, the philanthropic community. In fact, the philanthropic community is even learning more about this issue because it's a growing issue. If we don't get behind it, if we don't continue to put support behind it and come together to figure out how we can make this sustainable, the problem is only going to grow larger. And so I really encourage you to support the budget as amended, but to think even beyond that, to look at what is our future hold, because this problem is not going away. These Johns, they continue to think, how can I get by with these girls? How can I prey on those girls and even young boys who have low self-esteem, no matter what socioeconomic background that they're coming from, because it touches everyone. And so I just really encourage you to support this budget, to really, but also really continue to think of what does it look like beyond this.
Adrian, can I just respond to one thing you said?
Yes.
I think it was profound about the different family circumstances.
Yes.
Of our kids. And I remember that the great Charles Jordan, one of his favorite expressions,
right,
about play was it's more than fun and games.
Mm-hmm.
That when we get kids out in group activities,
yes,
we're training good citizens, we're building leadership skills, we're protecting them from bad things. And I'm glad you said that, because Commissioner Fritz and I are occasionally criticized for thinking that the city has a role in building and upgrading ball fields adjacent to schools throughout the city. The arguments you get sometimes are, stay in your lane, or why are you doing that, or why aren't you investing in the classroom? And my view is, it is the classroom. That when you have a field that's operational next to a middle school or a high school, it means that children after school can go out and do sports. And some of the great life lessons are learned and on the playing field. And my own bias is, I think young women who have the chance to participate in organized sports end up having role models and make friendships and gain status in schools through their participation. That's very important to their development. So when we don't have decent fields, we're cheating kids that need it desperately. So I appreciate your comment.
Yeah, and I completely agree with everything that you're saying, and hence the reason I asked that you support what's moving forward, but completely agree.
Mm-hmm. Morning.
Morning. My name is Alexander Villarreal. I'm the new CSEC Visit Program Coordinator. It's an honor to be before you, Mayor Charlie Hales, and Commissioners Nick, Amanda, and Fritz. I am a survivor from the streets of Portland between the ages of 15 to 18, having been used as a commodity. And I am thrilled to be here in Portland because of the collaboration that was services that were provided for me that really allowed me to get out of the lifestyle. And as such, it's great to be on the other end of seeing how the collaboration comes together to really create a wraparound care system for the survivors. And so one of the things that I'm thrilled to advocate for is I'm excited whenever there's funding for services that would enable survivors such as myself to get off the streets. And so what I would love to see is continued collaboration between the county and the city, because in my view, I firmly believe that we can never have enough people involved in providing services for our vulnerable children, our trafficked children. And so I'm really here to encourage that and hope to see that continue to happen. And so thank you so much. It's such an honor to be here.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Christy Wheeler, and I'm a school counselor for Portland Public Schools at Vestal, which is housed on Northeast 82nd. I'm here with two of my students who are participating in the Girl Strength program this year, and I just want to kind of speak from a preventative perspective. At Vestal, I see risky behavior day in and day out. I decided to become a Girl Strength volunteer last year when we had the program come into our school. I was so impressed with the program, how it's laid out, the curriculum, it's tied to academic standards. And so then last summer I decided to be a Girl Strength instructor, which is quite a commitment. It's a two-week class for, 8 hours a day. So now I'm teaching it this year to my students, and I started in sixth grade, and it's I think a perfect age to begin. But my concern is, and why I'm here today, is is that the boys are missing out at Vestal. What I hear in the hallways, what I hear from my students, is a lot of negative talk around sexual behaviors too. The boys are really missing out. The boys have this, and I'm generalizing, it's probably a small percentage, but my concern is with social media that there's becoming more of this hate talk, and often girls get targeted. So I feel if we started more prevention starting as young as like fifth, sixth grade, that would really boost the self-esteem of our students. So I just was here to support Girl Strength, and really hope that we can continue a program that is an education that we use in schools, because it is so, so very important. And I have two students here who just wanted to say a couple words. Leslie, Ona.
Hi, my name is Leslie Ona, and I like Girl Strength because they teach us how to protect ourselves, and if we don't have Girl Strength, we will... don't know how to protect ourselves, and they teach us all different kinds of moves. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks.
Just get a little closer.
Hi, my name is Katie, and I love Girl Strength because you get to learn all this stuff that you don't know would happen to you at a very young age, and it sometimes does happen. So it teaches us how to protect ourselves in the time, that kind of time.
Good. Thank you. Thank you all.
Appreciate it. So Katie and Leslie, I don't know what you plan to do when you grow up, and probably you don't either, but you may notice that there's just one girl on the council here, so be thinking about whether you might want to sit where I'm sitting.
Improvement.
The next three are Catherine Smith, Cha Lee, Fianna Johnson. They'll be followed by Savannah and Claudia, and then Mark Hoffines.
Morning, thank you for being here.
Would you like to go first?
I guess. I will go first since I'm on the left. Good morning, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak on behalf of the Girl Strength and Woman Strength program. My name is Chow, and I'm an academic achievement specialist for the Immigration or the Immigrant and Refugee Community Organization, better known as IRCO. I work at Lent and Harrison Park, and I specialize in working with Asian and Pacific Islander students who are identified as academic risk students. I have been a Girl Strength and Women's Strength volunteer since 2008, and I was one of the first Girl Strength volunteers to help lead the pilot programs. I just wanted to share an experience that I had in partnership with Girl Strength and the Girl Scouts Behind Bars program. A couple of years back, we led a mother-daughter workshop there, and these girls were coming in not to just visit their mothers, but sisters and aunts and grandparents, and what was amazing was we were starting our class like we normally do, creating a what-if list of dangerous situations that these young girls were worried about encountering. And these women, with their rich life experiences, were able to speak to these girls and help them come up with strategies to prevent, heal, and survive if anything was to happen. Not only was that beautiful to see, but to hear from the women afterwards that maybe having a program like this would have really helped change their lives or their life path or change the situation that they're in now. So I know from teaching Girl Strength that we really do provide a safe space for these girls to talk about life situations. Girls open up to us about abuse that they've faced, girls that they know that have been trafficked, and family members who have also been in that lifestyle. I think that Women's Strength and Girl Strength are great because we have a wide range of volunteers from different ethnicities and background, and we really reflect the people of Portland. So continuing with this tradition, getting a boys' strength program into our schools would allow men and young boys, knowing that they're often the perpetrators of violence, but also knowing that men and young boys have the ability to help support this movement to stop violence against women. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Catherine Smith. I'm in a unique situation. I've actually been a teacher in Portland Public Schools for over 24 years now. But more importantly, I've also been a health and physical education teacher working in Ockley Green Middle School and on to Harriet Tubman inner city, and just recently in the last 2 years over at Beaumont. The main reason why I'm here is that I had this program come in as a teacher, bringing Girl Strength in. I believe in prevention. I've been a health educator for many years, trying to find a piece of the puzzle that would empower girls and give them the type of skills really needed to protect themselves. You know, we see curriculum coming in and out several years through the school districts. But when I ran across the Girl Strength program and witnessed the empowerment that occurred within a 9-week setting, I was so taken by the program that I wanted to be an instructor. So I was involved now for about 5 years as an instructor, but also as an educator, realizing the powerful impact it has had and it continues to make. I also know that I've seen girls who have come into the program without a voice. And after going through this program, they're able to physically know what to do, but more importantly, how to speak up, how to find that voice, how to make them realize that they are an important person to be loved, treated, respected. I am also a survivor and wish at one point in my life that someone would have come across this particular program many years ago, but feel very blessed that I've found it as an adult woman. I also see the need of our young men not able to understand the impact of what their voices can do on young women. And I think it would be a very important thing for us to develop a program that the boy strength is going to have on our men. And we are speaking about the next generation of young people coming in, and dollars being spent on intervention can be lowered if we continue to build a prevention program. And I also believe in stories, and I want to share one that happened when I was teaching over at Tubman. I had a young girl go through our program, and as she was coming to school one morning, she had been around 9 blocks away from the school when she realized she had been being followed in a van. And she remembered what the girl's strength was about carrying herself strong. She took off, and this man came over to the curb and tried to get her to come into the van. I don't know if he was trying to recruit her or not, but what she did was she backed up, she created a larger space, and she took off running and ran into the school. She didn't just run into the school, she ran into the front office. She got a description of the man, got a description of the license plate number, and we were able to go ahead and talk to and get a hold of the police. This is just a small story, but these stories are people's lives. This program, the Girl Strength Program, is vital. It will help everyone, our entire society, our city, be a very safe place. And I'm proud to be a program, part of this program. So thank you so much for listening today.
Your time.
Hi, my name is Fayanna Johnson. I'm employed as a home visitor for teen parents in Multnomah County, and I volunteer my time to teach Girl Strength. I've been a volunteer Girl Strength instructor for almost 3 years. The Girl Strength Program is valuable in prevention of sexual exploitation because it combats the tactics that traffickers use to exploit girls. Girl Strength uses activities that promote unity among girls. One of the ways we do this is by defining allies and friends and teaching girls that you don't have to be friends with someone in order to help keep them safe. Being an ally can mean that you speak up when you see someone you think may be in trouble. We have the girls identify safe people in different areas of their lives. These are adults whom they could connect with when they feel unsafe or witness someone else's safety being in danger. We help the girls build a safety plan in the course. The girls practice identifying potentially unsafe environments and discuss options for how they could get out of the situation. Building relationships and supporting each other is a value in the Girl Strength Program, and we model this for the girls while encouraging them to do the same. We introduce the girls to the skills of establishing appropriate boundaries with family members, friends, and strangers. All of these skills are important to help girls identify and combat sexual exploitation. Pimps and traffickers use tactics of isolation and silence to control girls. We offer them tools that support unity and build their confidence and esteem. Girls in the program feel safe enough to share their own experiences and ask questions related to sexual exploitation. When girls identify moments of abuse or feeling unsafe, we connect them to providers that can assist them in getting the services they may need. Girls leave the class with tools to create change in their life and in the lives of girls around them. Girls often leave feeling empowered.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Our next three will be Savannah Carlo and Claudia and Mark Hoffhines.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity to be here. I'm here as a mom. I have a daughter who's a fifth grader. She's 11, and I have a son who's a seventh grader at Jackson. He's going to be 13 in February. And
Could
I would
state your happy. Name for the record, please.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Claudia Carlo.
Thank you.
So I was very glad to have had the opportunity. Savannah just completed the Girl Strength Program, and it's an excellent program. I think that all of our girls can benefit from it. I can't follow my daughter everywhere, and as the kids get older and more independent, she's on her own. The program's really given her skills that I think she'll talk about, but that I know give me a lot more confidence as a parent. They address trusting her intuition, being aware of her surroundings, using her voice, and I was hoping she could do her voice for you, but I'm not sure she will. It's a really good voice. It's very effective. And she just has a lot more confidence in herself with the skills. She's been given tools, self-defense tools, using her voice. And I know that she's benefited from it, and I know that my son would benefit from it. In fact, when she started the program, he was very disappointed that there wasn't anything comparable for him. And so the disparity that women in our culture know, we all know about, I think the disparity that our boys face is really not a dialogue that's been discussed enough. And we know there's a lot of authors who have talked about the American boys are in trouble. They're the most violent in the industrial world. They're failing in the classrooms. And most of them don't know how to emote. They don't know how to connect with their emotions. They don't know. They're not allowed to really do it. We don't give them the tools to know how to do that. And consequently, they have behaviors that we're all aware of. And none of us want that for our boys. And so I would love to see, I think every parent would love to see a program. I know the boys would love to see a program similar to this that's comparable, that kind of starts addressing the disparity that's coming, you know, that our boys have. I mean, we've talked a lot about it with girls, and I think the boys are going to benefit, and we all benefit from it. So thank you. It's a great program, and my son wants to do it too, so.
Thank you. Good morning, Savannah. How are you?
Good.
Well, we'd love to hear from you, and we would love to hear your voice if you want to use it.
Okay. My name is Savannah Carlo, and I'm a fifth grader at Capitol Hill Elementary. Before, Girls Strength, walking home from the bus seemed almost scary. And then we started Girls Strength. And in Girls Strength, we learned personal boundaries, how to defend yourself during an attack, and your voice. After Girls Strength, I got a lot of confidence, and now walking home from the bus, I don't feel scared.
Do your voice.
No, you're not supposed to do the voice. It's supposed to be surprised.
Save it for when you
see,
need.
My daughter and I took this class,
oh, okay.
So I know the
word. Okay.
That's good.
And it is a surprise. It's
yeah.
A good voice.
Well, nice to have you both here. Thank you for coming. Good morning.
All right. Hey, it's Mark J. Hoffines, Jr. with UCARE. Actually, I'm highly supportive of this due to the fact that me and my family have been victims ourselves. And had we had this such a thing as this in place within our schools, we would have known a lot better and know how to handle the situation. So all I have is positive on this because I've seen a lot of this type of victimization happening, and I'm absolutely against it. If it were my choice, the world would be changed completely and nobody would even have those types of thoughts. But I just wanted to thank all you guys for coming out here and giving your testimony because that really means a lot, and I truly do care about the situations that which happened. The trauma is harsh, so do what you do and stay strong no matter what.
Thanks, Mark. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And next we have Michelle Munoz with Stella and Alexis. And they will be followed by Sarah Hobbs and Stephanie Mathis.
Thank you very much for this opportunity to share our program with you. My name is Michelle Munoz, and I was lucky enough to teach these two girls in the Fabian class this past autumn. So we'd just like to share a little bit about the effectiveness of the program, particularly in terms of prevention in CSEC. So as well as being a Girl Strength instructor, I work with International Teams End Slavery to fight commercial sex trafficking of children through awareness and prevention initiatives. And when I first began to learn about CSEC, it became clear to me that along with fighting the demand end of the equation, prevention was going to be a powerful tool that we had in stopping this crime. And as important and so necessary as aftercare is for those who have been exploited, we must also focus on keeping youth safe through education and awareness. Wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to have aftercare because we got to the kids before they ended up being traumatized through CSEC. So because traffickers or pimps rely so heavily on the tactic of boyfriending or dating as a means of preying on their target's emotional vulnerability, Girl Strength, I believe, plays a significant role in that prevention tool. In our program, we teach girls what healthy versus unhealthy relationships look like, how to set appropriate boundaries, and how to defend themselves against boundary intrusions using verbal and, if necessary, physical skills. And as we talk to them about the issue of CSEC, we talk to them often about how kids are lured, so that they're aware of that, those tactics as well. Because those being exploited typically don't self-identify as CSEC in their situation, approaching this issue from a healthy versus unhealthy relationship point of view while building up their self-confidence is an effective and important prevention strategy. So this program really gives youth the tools to identify their relationships for themselves, as well as the power to say, no, I'm worth more than this. I'm worth being treated with respect and dignity. So people often ask me if the Girl Strength program is effective and can I actually see results at the end of just 9 weeks. And I say absolutely every time. In our exit surveys, as Caroline mentioned, the girls consistently report increased self-confidence as one of the most significant things that they've taken away from class. And from personal experience as an instructor, I can tell you, you can often see sort of the light go on with a girl when she catches something that, like, oh, I hadn't thought about that before, or I didn't know that. And just as an example, one of our final activities in class is creating a personal Bill of Rights of relationships. So we ask the girls to finish the statement, in any relationship I'm in, I deserve. And they fill in how they want to be treated. So it's sort of a roadmap for them going forward to be able to identify, am I in a healthy relationship or not? And then we share our statements with each other. And one of the classes that I was teaching asked me what was on my list. And so I told them, well, one item on my list is that I deserve not to be yelled at. And the girl to my left got kind of pensive and she said, well, is that from personal experience? And I said, well, yeah, it was. You know, I was dating somebody who yelled at me a lot, and I decided I didn't like that and that I deserved to be treated better. And she kind of went, oh, and she started writing down in her notebook. So I could tell you that I know she and other students leave that class with a stronger sense of self and knowing that they deserve to be treated with respect, and they'll be able to act on knowing that they deserve to be treated with respect. So given the success that I've seen with the Girl Strength program, I really have no doubt that a program aimed at boys will just be another significant step in the prevention of CSEC in our community. So I respectfully ask that you provide the necessary funding to create and implement the Boy Strength program, along with continued funding for Girl Strength. And then my student.
Good morning, ladies.
Hi, I'm Stella Davies. I'm a sixth grader at Fabian School, and I ended Girl Strength about 2 months ago.
I'm Alexis Quiroz. I go to Fabian School, and I'm in sixth grade, and I ended Girl Strength 2 months ago.
Girl Strength is a very important program for girls because it teaches them a form of self-defense. And this is important because a lot of kids our age really need to protect ourselves from danger.
We learned that violence has many stages, from bullying to physical harassment, and it is important that we are physically safe. We learn moves or strikes that stay with us throughout our lives.
We haven't actually yet used our Girl Strength skills, but we tend to practice them alone. We only practice them alone because, I mean, people in your family could be future attackers, and if they learned your skills, they could possibly use them against us.
We don't feel the need to use our physical skills on students at school, but verbal skills have helped us with bullies and middle school problems.
As a student that walks to school, I face the danger of any attackers along the way. Now that I'm aware of the possibilities that could occur, I'm always prepared to defend myself. The things that Girl Strength has taught me is that there are many terrible attacks possible and that I can defend myself.
It is important to be me because now I know what can happen. I've learned that I need to have my safe people around me at almost all times. These key skills Girl Strength has taught me will help me for sure.
An idea is up in the air, as you guys were hearing, that they might start a boy program. We think that the boy program would definitely reduce boy violence, bullying, and any other boy problems.
And although girls have a special bond that is tighter than some boys have, having a boy strength class would definitely help them.
There are many boys at this age who just want to fit in, and they believe that violence is the answer to achieving this goal. And some boys do need help, and this program is a really fun way, and it's like the best way to do that.
Girl Strength is the best way to teach people how to save themselves and others from danger, and we are glad that we got to be a part of it.
Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
And then our last two are Sarah Hobbs and Stephanie Mathis.
Hey. Come on up.
Amanda.
Thank you for being here.
Go ahead.
Okay. My name, for the record, is Sarah Hobbs, and I am very concerned about one thing concerning older survivors who are aging out that I have not heard addressed, and that is the issue of vocational training that will translate into them getting jobs. My concern is if that doesn't happen and they can't meet their needs, basic financial needs, out of stress and desperation, they may go back to the streets. And I am wondering, is their programs or funding within the framework of the budget? Is there an organization that is working on this issue? Because when I look at human trafficking, I've worked at an organization called Transitions Global. They have amazing aftercare, but they also have an amazing vocational program because they have seen without marketable skills, the victims are at high risk for being victimized again. So in a nutshell, that's what I wanted to say. I actually didn't come to speak, and I saw the issue. This is the second time as a civilian I have sat here when the budget for the human trafficking issue has come up. It's a very serious issue. So that's the question I propose to you. Is vocational training part of the aftercare program for the older survivors who are due to age out?
Sarah, thank you for raising that important point. It's probably a conversation that you and I need to have with New Options for Women, because I know that that's part of their services, is connecting people to the ongoing wide range of support. It's a very good point.
But correct me, ma'am, if I'm wrong, but didn't they say the large majority of their clients are older? I'm thinking more of the 13 to 18 younger group.
Right, so the 13 to 18 are mentored and helped by the Janus Youth Programs, and then what this funding does is allow that 18 to 25-year-olds to get services from New Options for Women and the other, and continued services from Janus when they age out over 18.
Okay, so vocational training is part of it.
We will check into that, but that's my understanding.
Very good
Thank
point.
You very much.
Great.
That's a very good point.
Thank you.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Morning.
Hi, my name is Stephanie Ann Mathis. I am an adjunct professor at the Warner Pacific College, which is pretty close to Southeast 82nd. We're a faith-based, diverse, urban college. I'm also a licensed pastor and from the Evangelical Covenant Church. I'm a mom and a wife, and I'm a former executive director for an advocacy organization that actually helped pass the first trafficking legislation in the state a couple years ago. I really wanted to say thank you first to Commissioner Amanda Fritz. We contacted her as I'm teaching this class, and she opened up City Hall with great hospitality and also educated the students about this issue. I really appreciate that she is committed to the work and especially for speaking up for those who are the most vulnerable in our community. So thank you for that. I kind of wanted to share a little bit personally from my own faith perspective, and I'm going to hopefully talk fast because my meter is going to run out soon. But I truly believe that God sides with the poor and the marginalized. From freeing the Hebrew slaves in Egypt to the good news of Jesus that brings liberation for those who are poor and most vulnerable and marginalized in our community. The students are not here today because it's finals week, so I'm proud of them for being in class and not coming, but I'm here to represent them. These amazing freshmen that I have been able to teach this past semester have taken this issue and understanding of advocacy and voice and story and justice, and they led a chapel for the college all out of their own original work and thought. It's on the Warner website. It's 30 minutes long if you want to look at it. It's really quite inspiring. These freshman boys spoke up in front of a college campus about strip clubs and how we speak to one another and that no means no. And I think that this Boys Strength program will really be so beneficial. We had women in tears in the chapel. The president was in tears because we know the deep impact that a freshman boy would say that to their peers at this age. Even at 18, I can't imagine what it would be like as a sixth grader if they got that. So like Charles Finney, who coined the altar call back in the day, it was actually an altar call, was actually to sign the petition to abolish slavery. And so that's what the students did. And they wrote this petition, and they received 200 signatures that day. So I would like to read from their own voice and words the letter that they wrote to you. Dear Mayor Hales and Portland City Commissioners, we are a class of college freshmen at Warner Pacific College. Through our first year learning community class entitled Faith, Justice in Portland, we have been learning about the issue of commercialized sexual exploitation of children in Portland and the massive impact it has. Through our studies, we have come to see what child sex trafficking industry really is: modern day human slavery. Girls and boys are being taken against their will and being forced to commit horrible sexual acts to strange and dangerous people. We cannot let this horrible atrocity continue within our great city, and these vulnerable children need our help. We must not turn a blind eye to the needs of these children who have been taken advantage of. The funding for these vital resources could make a drastic impact on some of the most marginalized persons in our community. If girls had help with recovery and healing from sexual assault, violence, and manipulation, they could live better lives and be less likely to return to the streets. If survivors had beds to return to, just a small place to call home and sleep safely, they could get back on their feet into a healthier environment. And if we could teach more young kids about the dangers of these relationships that pimps build with young girls and boys, we could kill the problem at its root. The average age of a female victim is 12 to 14. And the average age of a male or transgender victim is 11 to 13. We need to warn and give kids proper whole person education when they are most vulnerable. Our class, along with the Warner Pacific College community, urges you to approve Commissioner Fritz's entire budget request. Respectfully, the Warner Pacific College Faith, Justice in Portland freshman class. And along, I have all the signatures, and I have one for each one of you. Great. Thank you so much for your time.
You. That's great. Thank your students for us as well.
Yep. They are incredible. And I'm going to go pay my meter.
Do that.
Thank you all for being here.
You have a card.
The lady at the back there will come talk to you.
Pardon?
One of her staff is back in the back of the room. She'll give you that. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. All right. No one else signed up to testify, right?
That's
anyone
all.
Else wants to speak? Then I believe we have a motion.
So, Mayor, I would... move that we put an emergency clause on this ordinance so that it can be affected on an expedited basis.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Then a roll call on putting the emergency clause on the ordinance.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Okay. Now a roll call on the ordinance itself, please.
Novick.
I really appreciate all the people who came to testify today and all the good work that folks are doing, and I'm proud to vote aye.
Fritz.
Well, the Warner Pacific students just made my speech, so I don't need to repeat the reasons for it. Thank you all for being here today. This is a partnership, and it's crucially important that it continues to be a partnership between the city and the county and providers in the community. I'm very excited about adding the Boys Strength program, having benefited from Women's Strength while my daughter was a teenager, and it made a big difference to both of us. So thank you all for your work, and thank you, Council, for your support on this. Aye.
Fish.
I want to start by thanking Commissioner Fritz for being our champion on this issue and for making sure that it is front and center. I want to thank everyone who took time out from their busy lives to be with us today, but particularly I want to thank the young people. And boy, were they impressive. Let's give them a round of applause. Someone who testified gave us sort of an admonishment, which was make sure in the coming budget that we're clear about roles, city, county. And I know, Mayor Hales, this is high on your agenda, and I would say that there's a number of areas where I would like to see clarity going into this budget, because we have shared responsibility and shared funding over a number of things. Obviously, this is a priority topic. I think the funding for older adults and homelessness, in addition, should get the same attention. So we're clear as to who's doing what. And I think this is the budget year where we want to avoid having people at the 11th hour coming and making pleas that we fund things that we've already established are cornerstone. Now it's just a question of who pays for what and how. And so I accept the challenge that was offered by someone who spoke. And I just want to close by saying that when I heard the data about the age range where children are at risk, and we're talking about 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old boys and girls, I mean, it is so shocking. I have a 9-year-old at home, fourth grader. And the other piece of this discussion that I don't think gets enough attention is where are our young people getting these messages that are so unhealthy? And I feel like I have to barricade the front door of our house on a regular basis, screen the TV, check. I have a 9-year-old, and, he's got a lot of positive role models, but between TV and videos and video games and movies and texts and lots of other things, he is bombarded with ugly, violent, sexual messages that are inappropriate. He's 9, and he has 2 parents who spend a lot of time screening that stuff. So if another child doesn't have a loving, caring adult at home, or spending a lot of time by herself or himself, who's screening this stuff? And then why are we surprised when people act on this garbage? So in addition to applauding your work on prevention and treatment, let's spend some time looking at the source for some of the garbage that children are being exposed to that's actually shaping behavior. And that's kind of signaling it's okay to use this language or this behavior with a young girl. So anyway, I appreciate, again, Commissioner Fritz's leadership and all the testimony today, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Hales.
Well, again, Amanda, thank you for your advocacy and for all of you who put together such a great presentation today. I want to reiterate the point that was made about the budget. Every public service that we provide as a community, no matter what agency provides it, whether it's ours or the county's or some of each, needs to be meeting a clear public need. It needs to be well-managed, and it needs to be accountable. Obviously, this set of services meets a clear public need. Obviously, it appears to be well-managed, but it's not very accountable at the moment because we've got this mishmash, and not just this program area, where the city is doing some of these functions and the county is doing some of them. And I am bound and determined to help with Chair Madrigal's help to sort some of that out so that you, as advocates and citizens, know who's in charge of a public service, know who's responsible for getting the work done, and we all can measure how well it's working. That should be true for police patrols and fire and rescue and street paving and libraries and every other function that we provide as a community. So I'm really happy that Chair Madrigal is as determined on this wonkish subject as I am to get the clarity, because I think we all need that, and you've got my pledge to keep working on that. Now to the issue itself, as it happened on the way into this council session, I got a couple of messages on my iPhone, because we are all immersed in information all the time. One was from my daughter, who now lives in Brooklyn, who's a strong and confident 26-year-old young woman. And she, I know, I don't worry about her walking the streets of New York as much as I might as a parent, because I know she's strong and confident, and that she has those values of autonomy and empowerment that got communicated to her by her parents and by her community. These programs are very much about that, and I really appreciate the point about, as a father of sons as well, about making sure that we expand this thoughtful preventative effort to young men as well as to young women. The second message that I looked at was unfortunately much less heartwarming. And that is, I saw the crime statistics year over year. I get it each month, of course, at the beginning of the month. How are we doing in public safety in Portland compared to last year? And I just got the statistics through the end of November. And fortunately, overall, our crime rate continues to fall. This is true in almost every American city, with some cities as exceptions and with some, unfortunately, areas of criminal behavior as exceptions. Murder is down 46% over last year. And that's great. It also reflects, I hope, the success of prevention efforts aimed at gang-affected young people in our community. We still have a problem there, but we've made progress. Armed robbery, down 9%. Aggravated assault, down 8%. Rape, up 6% year over year. That is a tragic statistic. Over 200 rapes in our city in the last 12 months. So we've got a problem as a community, we've got a problem as a society, and I think the uptick in that crime reflects the larger issues that this effort is trying to address. So as your police commissioner, I not only want to make sure that our police officers are oriented the right way with respect to these crimes of trafficking, and it sounds like they're doing a great job, and I appreciate that, but I also know that we have to spend on prevention. Just as we do with gangs, we have to spend on prevention as a society if we have any hope of reducing that number, because we'll never have enough police officers on enough street corners to protect unprepared women from sexual assault. It's not going to happen. And we're never going to have enough police officers on enough street corners to arrest every John. So we have to get upstream in these issues, and that's what this is about. So I appreciate the good work. We will continue to work to clarify roles and responsibilities between our local governments about who's in charge and who does what and who's accountable. But in the meantime, I'm very happy to support this effort. I also want to recommend the City Council for the work that we all did, the difficult work that we all did on the budget. We're able to make this decision today because this council dug deep and made difficult cuts in the general fund budget at a time of a historic low in the resources that we had available as a city. We also set aside a contingency fund that was sufficient to allow us to actually make this decision today and still have some money left in the drawer for some other critical need or some other emergency over the course of the rest of the year. So well done again to this council and to our bureaus for giving us the resources to be able to meet a critical need. Thank you all. Aye. Thanks, everyone. Let's take a 2-minute break and then take up the 11:30 time certain. Can we do that?
An 11 time certain.
Oh, sorry, it was an 11 time certain. Well, it's not going to be as certain as anyone would have liked, but we'll still take the 2-minute break.